It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're going to kick off the show today with a big shout out and a big thank you to Kyle Jones. He's the owner of Jones Sport Fishing. He took six of us out on a chilly November day recently to go after steelhead on Idaho's Clearwater River. The Clearwater is a very special stream because it's home to some of the biggest steelhead you're likely to ever catch. They're called B-run steelhead, and instead of the normal 6 to 8 pound summer steelhead you'll catch in much of the Pacific Northwest, these monsters can reach up to 20 plus pounds in size. How do we do? Fantastic. Rory Gosnell from Idaho Falls reeled in a 10-pound coho salmon, which was released, as was a 16-pound wild steelhead caught by first-time steelhead angler Britton Ransford. Jason Rolfe caught the first keeper, a 12-pound hatchery steelhead, followed by Bob Schmidt, president of Max Lure Company, whose steely weighed in somewhere between 14 and 16 pounds. Heading towards the end of the day, Richie Herod, host of the television show The Northwest Outdoorsman, boated a 17-pound hatchery steelhead, and I was blessed to cap it all off with a 38-inch, 18-plus-pound Jurassic steely of my own. Truly the fish of a lifetime. Oh, and better still, this fishery, it's just getting started this year, and it's going to go all the way through the winter. If you want to book a trip, I would highly recommend Kyle Jones at Jones Sport Fishing. His website, really simple, jonessportfishing.com. That's jonessportfishing.com. This week on the show, we'll talk to Clearwater River co-angler Richie Herod about his TV show, which is all about DIY fishing and hunting adventures in the greater Northwest of both the U.S. and Canada. And then we're going to catch up with Lan Tawney. He's the executive director of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, an organization we support through this show. We'll find out how he did deer hunting this past week in Montana and also get updates from Election Day about what certain states had to say about public land access for hunters and anglers. If you want a hint, I can tell you this. We've got good news to share on all fronts. We'll stick to the subject of public lands hunting when we chat with Anthony Licata. He's the editor-in-chief of Outdoor Life magazine, and there's a big feature in the fall edition about hunting wild America, specifically our public lands, that's full of great stories, essays, and some handy advice that will help you bag more game in the field. Anthony will not only talk about all of that, but also about the impact our public lands have for hunters in our United States, including his own hunting. That's right, Anthony, a man who can hunt just about anywhere he wants, given his position as the editor-in-chief of Outdoor Life magazine, he's a public lands hunter too. From public lands, we'll share some outdoors news to include the results of the Bass Nation Championship that took place last weekend at Pickwick Lake in Alabama, and we've got some goose calling tips that will come in handy this fall. Finally, before we wrap things up, we'll be checking in with Captain Mac McQuarrie. He's the man behind Sportsman's Cove Lodge at Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska. He'll give you a wrap-up of the 2018 season behind us and let us know what he's got new for you in 2019. By the way, if you're looking for a really great Christmas gift, it would be hard to do better than booking a stay for someone you love at this fantastic fishing lodge not far from Ketchikan, Alaska, where the fishing is great and the customer service is off the charts wonderful. But before we go to Alaska, we need to catch up with my recent Idaho fishing buddy. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we're checking in with Richie Herod. He is the host of a great television show called The Northwest Outdoorsman. You can see it on NBC Sports Northwest. You can see it throughout Canada on Wild TV. You can see it in Central Washington on the NCW Life Channel and on the go with the Spincast app or on YouTube, the YouTube channel Herod Outdoors. Richie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Richie, I got to tell you, I sure enjoyed our fishing trip out on the Clearwater River. I know I caught my personal best steelhead out there, and so did you.
Absolutely, man. That was a great time. I just couldn't believe the size of those fish. And it was really great to finally get out in the field with you and enjoy a day on the water.
Oh, I agree. It's something we've been talking about literally for years. Folks, if you don't know, Richie and I literally live just down the road from each other, a space of about 10, 15 miles away. We talk to each other a lot, but this is the first time we've actually been fishing together. So it was really an enjoyable experience. And I thought we'd go ahead and let people know about your television show, folks that aren't familiar with it, because your TV show, it's not like in a lot of other ones out there where either A, I'm the host, I'm the expert, let me show you how it's done, or B, I'm the host, I'm going to go out with this guide, and we're going to go on a guided fishing trip. You're all about every man, weekend warrior, let's go out and do this and figure it out when it comes to your shows, aren't you?
Yeah, our show's format is, based on the concept that, you can do all this stuff yourself, and we have for many, many years. And so we thought, hey, why don't we just share our experiences, and we're just average sportsmen doing what we normally do, and most folks do that as well, out on the weekends, like you say, and no guides. Not that guides are not helpful. I mean, certainly are, but majority of people don't go with guides. So the whole premise of the show is just to focus on family and friends and the outdoors and doing the things that everybody does.
And I like the variety of your show, too. You don't pigeonhole yourself into just one thing. So you go fishing, but you go fishing for all sorts of different species. You go hunting, but it's not just big game. You do waterfowl and upland bird hunting, too. There's a lot going on with your shows, and I'm really excited to find out what you've got this season for viewers.
Yeah, that's right, John. So, we basically fish or hunt whatever's in season. And, of course, we have some of our favorite things that we like to do. And so, you might see a walleye show every year, or you might see a waterfowl show every year, because those are the kinds of activities that we enjoy doing. But really, we just, whatever's in season, whatever's interesting to go, there's so many neat places in the Northwest to check out, and so we just love doing that. This year, we have a great lineup of shows. On the hunting side, my dad had a cow elk tag, and we have a show where he harvests an elk, which is pretty awesome. He's 74 years old, so that's pretty neat. We did a family goose hunting trip, which we often do every year. And then we have an awesome show on muzzleloader whitetails in Northeast Oregon, something a little different. And the boys were real successful. Some friends of mine, they did really well. On the fishing side, like I said, we love to walleye fish. Banks Lake is one of our favorite haunts, and there's a show on Banks Lake. We're trout fishing here in eastern Washington. And then we're trout and kokanee fishing in southern British Columbia, which is pretty cool. And then there's a great ice fishing show from the Caribou region in British Columbia, and that's quite an adventure.
I actually just saw that. I guess it's important to note, you're right in the middle of your season right now. But with television, even if you don't catch the first one, usually you can catch it the second time around. So do your shows air all throughout the year, or is there a set, 13 or 26 weeks to catch them?
For the most part, our shows on the networks air in the fall, the fourth quarter of the year, for 13 weeks. And yes, there are repeats of the shows. I'm kind of a one-man operation, so I usually produce 6 or 7 original shows and then air it again to fill out the 13 weeks. We'll be going to some new networks this next year for different quarters, but you can also find our show, as you mentioned earlier, past episodes on the Spincast app, that you can download for free and watch some of our older shows. You can watch shows on NCW Life Channel here in Wenatchee throughout the year. They air episodes throughout the year. And then, of course, if you miss anything because you don't have those channels or you're out of town, you can always go to our Herod Outdoors YouTube channel. And there's lots and lots of content from all the 10 years that we've been doing this, and you can watch for hours.
And you know what, folks? You will find yourself watching for hours. One more thing that I love about your shows is once you're done harvesting, whether it be the fish or the game, there's always a segment on how to cook it. I know I appreciate that. Again, folks, it's the Northwest Outdoorsman. If you want to check out what's happening with the average hunter, the average angler in the Pacific Northwest, you got to check out this show. You can catch it this fall on NBC Sports Northwest or Wild TV throughout Canada. Again, on the NCW Life channel in Central Washington, and on the go with either Spincast or through YouTube, just go to Herod Outdoors. Richie, again, had a great time fishing with you. Can't wait to catch more episodes of the Northwest Outdoorsman, too.
Thank you, John. Yeah, we need to get together again soon.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
It doesn't matter what sort of adventure you're after, whether it's big game deep in the backcountry, a day of fishing out on the water, or an overnight in the great outdoors. At Sportsman's Warehouse, we've got the gear in here for what you need out there. Gear up for your next adventure at one of the Sportsman's Warehouse stores or shop online. Sportsman's Warehouse, America's premier outfitter.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. It's time to check in with our friends at Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And we thought we'd go straight to the top. Talk to the executive director, Land Tawney, who's coming at us from Missoula, Montana. Land, welcome to the show.
John, it's great to be back again.
Land, I know that you have had a very good week. I was poking around Facebook and noticed on your Facebook feed you bagged a deer this week.
I did. I got lucky to find, when I went to the check station, they said she was a grandma. She was 8.5 years old. But I got lucky and actually shot on a place where my namesake owns the place, and that's open to the public. So it's public access to private land, and shot this nice little doe.
And Montana's got this block management access land that is a really great program. Tell our listeners more about it.
Yeah, so it's a public access to private land. Basically, it pays for the impacts that public hunters have. So whether that's you got to regrade a road because somebody drove on it when it was muddy, or bringing in weeds. So they basically offset the cost. And so we have 8 million acres of block management enrolled in Montana, which is the largest private access program in the country. And it's this great place where, you know, there's all sorts of different ways. You either have to sign in, call ahead, or you can just walk in. And this area that I was in, I could just walk in, and within 45 minutes I was chasing that doe.
Absolutely love it. Well, as we both know, and a lot of our listeners know, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is all about public lands and advocating for public lands where folks like you and I can go fishing and hunting. And on election day, three states had big wins when it came to public lands and hunting. Let's break them down state by state. You can tell our listeners what happened. We'll start off in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, sure. So in Connecticut, there before it's been very easy for whoever's in power to sell public lands, which again is another reason why we don't want, you know, federally managed public lands to be transferred to the states. But it's been very easy to do that in Connecticut. So they had a ballot initiative, ballot measure, I guess. And through that ballot measure, they were able to make it much harder and actually have public input now, so that if you want to sell public, you know, state public lands in Connecticut, you have to go through a process the public can actually be a part of.
I love it. I love the fact that chapters from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers were involved with getting this through, as they did in Georgia. What happened there?
Yeah, so down in Georgia, they had a lot of foresight. They basically repurposed an existing sales tax on outdoor equipment and put that now back towards conservation and access within the state of Georgia. So it's, you know, no new taxes. It's just repurposing, and it will, you know, help perpetuate some of the great things that they have going on in Georgia.
Last but not least, the old Rocky Mountain state of Colorado. I've spent some time there, and I understand that David Lean and some of the other backcountry hunters and anglers that work there have been doing some work for Election Day.
You're right. So in the other two states, you know, it was proactive measures, positive measures. This is where we actually were able to defeat one. And what this basically was going to be is that anytime there was kind of a change in zoning rules or wildlife habitat, that we, the people, would have to pay private landowners for any kind of compensation. And really, the way I look at that is if you choose to, you know, live either in the urban interface, say for fires or for wildlife, that's part of the awesomeness that is living in the outdoors, but it's also something you have to deal with, and we, the public, shouldn't have to pay for that.
So in this case, BHA helped defeat a ballot measure then?
Absolutely. And one thing I failed to mention about the first two is that both those passed over 80%, you know, which is absolutely awesome. And then in Colorado, I'm going to be remiss because I can't remember that number, but it was overwhelming defeat as well. So all three of those, you know, the people really stepped up, which I think, you know, should remind everyone in this country that your voice does count, but only if you use it. And in these three cases, people definitely use their voice.
Well, this is great to hear, and I think this is a good segue into backcountry hunters and anglers. Give the brief elevator speech about the organization for those listeners who haven't been hearing our PSAs every week for the last couple of years. What's it all about?
Basically, backcountry hunters and anglers, you know, started around a campfire, and we were, you know, on this planet to basically make sure you have access to public lands and waters and then the fish and wildlife habitat when you get there. So we do that from a local to a state. You just heard about some of the things we're doing at a state level, all the way out to Washington, D.C., and then up in Canada as well. So we have a pretty far reach, and, you know, our power comes from the people. And I talk about that voice. You know, we started 5 years ago. We were 1,000 strong, and now we're 26,000. We're hopefully going to hit 30 by the end of the year.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And folks, if you're not a member yet, like Land is, and I am, and again, 25,000 other folks, I would encourage you to join. This is a great organization. Something I'm looking forward to is attending the rendezvous again. I understand it's going to be back in Boise. What are the dates, and what's going to be happening?
Yeah, we just love Boise. It's the weather there is amazing. The people are amazing. So it's May 1 through 4 down in Boise. And, you know, it's going to be even more exciting this year. We've got one of our venues for storytelling. This will be the first anybody hears about it. But our Saturday night kind of event will be taking place in the hockey arena that's right next to where all the other festivities are. So I've been in that space. It's going to take your breath away. And we got some storytellers that will just kind of blow your mind.
I love it. And by the way, great pun as well there, Land. That was really good. All right. So make plans now to attend the annual conference, the annual rendezvous for the backcountry hunters and anglers. It's going to be in Boise. Really successful last year. It's going to be very successful again this year. A lot of the hotels are going to sell out, so you'll want to book early. Just go to the BHA website. What is that website, Land?
Just backcountryhunters.org. So backcountryhunters, plural.org.
There you go, folks. Backcountryhunters.org. That's the website to go to. Either join or renew and make plans now to attend the rendezvous in Boise in May of 2019. Land, great to hear about these Election Day victories. Also, great to hear about the fact that you got a nice doe as well on some block management land in Montana. Way to go.
Yeah, you know, the bird hunting I've been doing with my young dog has been great, and those ducks and pheasants taste great, but getting a doe in the freezer, you know, that makes me feel a little bit better about life.
Absolutely. Land, take care. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks so much again, John.
It's always great talking to Land. There was another state ballot measure that passed that was a victory for hunters and anglers, and this one happened in North Carolina on Election Day. Now, backcountry hunters and anglers was not involved in this one. That's why we didn't talk to Land about it. But thanks to work by local groups and a state population full of hunters, anglers, and people who recognize the importance of these activities, there's now a constitutional amendment in North Carolina protecting the right of the people there to hunt, fish, and harvest wildlife. Better still, the amendment specifically says public hunting and fishing are the preferred means of managing and controlling wildlife. It is nice when politics and the North American model of game management intersect from time to time, isn't it? Stick around. We've got more public lands and more hunting coming your way in just a few minutes when we talk to Anthony Licata. He's the editor-in-chief of Outdoor Life magazine, and the fall edition has got a huge feature feature called Wild America that's all about hunting our public lands.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to ensure North America's outdoor heritage of hunting and fishing through education and work on behalf of wild public lands and waters. Lend your voice to the fight by visiting www.backcountryhunters.org and join the 25,000 men and women who have pledged to defend wildlife and public access. You can also demonstrate your support by signing up for the 2019 North American Rendezvous in Boise, Idaho, May 1st to the 5th.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
Tillamook Bay is considered the greatest fishing experience on the West Coast for fall Chinook salmon and winter steelhead, and Dungeness crab is plentiful. Five major rivers connect with the ocean on the Tillamook coast. It's not unusual to snag a 40 to 50 pounder. Go out in a boat or stand on a riverbank or dock. Try fishing from a dory boat and experience the thrill of a beach launch and landing. Use spinners, sand shrimp, or salmon eggs to lure them. The fish will line up to grab your bait. Go to TillamookCoast.com/fishing to find guides and places to stay.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. In my hand, I am holding the fall edition of Outdoor Life magazine. It's chock full of great information, great articles. There's 22 ways to fix deer hunting mistakes that all too many of us make. There's fall fishing tactics. There's a great story about a kid with a world record animal. And there is also a feature called Wild America, all about hunting on public lands. With us here, tell us more, is the editor-in-chief who put it all together, Anthony Licata. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, John.
So, Anthony, I live out west. We hunt a lot of public lands out here, and I love the fact that this Wild America feature has a bunch of great essays about hunting public lands, not just in the west, but throughout America, but also tactics to use on public lands as well. Very well done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think sometimes hunters think about public land and they do think about the West for obvious reasons. And that's important whether you live in the West or not. But there's incredible public land hunting opportunities coast to coast, north to south. We're very lucky in this country that way.
Well, we are. And, you know, I'm a bird hunter at heart, and I really enjoyed the story that Alex Robinson wrote, more of an essay, really, about the spot he goes to with his dad every year, a little marsh in Wisconsin, and he's the only one there. I can really relate because I have a similar spot where I take my kids every year in Washington State. It's just a heartwarming story, and that's just one of many that's in this Wild America feature.
Yeah, we try to do a mix in this story, in this package, of those kinds of essays that show people what could happen, as well as a lot of practical information on how to hunt public lands. But I think the first part is just as important. I think sometimes hunters take it for granted. We all know that lack of access is one of the barriers to hunting fish. But what people don't realize is there are a lot of opportunities out there. We're very lucky. And we really wanted to help people take advantage of them, inspire them to find those areas, give them some tips, then tell them how to hunt them.
Well, and you do that really well. And, you know, getting into the tips on how to hunt them, another little sidebar article you had was hunting pheasants on public land. And the author of that article correctly pointed out it's getting tougher and tougher in many states, especially out west, to hunt pheasants. I mean, if you're in Kansas or South Dakota, you got
sure.
It good. But, you know, for a lot of us, it's tough. And so he talks about hunting cattails. And, you know, thinking back, it's like, you know, I have flushed dozens of roosters out of cattails before. Not easy to hunt, not easy to do, but great advice. And that's just a little nugget of many that's in there in this magazine this month.
Yeah, it's those kinds of tips. And, you know, I think sometimes in the outdoor media, we're all guilty of talking about the biggest and best and the greatest places, land management, and that's all fine. But when it comes right down to it, so many hunters depend on public lands, fund so much of our conservation. It keeps these sports alive, and it's really such great traditions. And people shouldn't, you know, kind of get discouraged by what they see on TV or maybe read the magazine and think, oh, I need to have this fabulous private property that's, you know, meticulously managed. There's all kinds of great hunting on public lands for all of us to go out and do if we just work at it a little bit and do some homework.
You're absolutely right. And something else I really enjoyed about this month's magazine is a fold-out map that's all about our public lands, not just what you're going to find on them hunting-wise, but just a lot of facts and statistics about public lands, where they're found, where they're not found here in America.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We put a lot of work into that fold-out map, but the goal there was to really show people what is available and open their eyes to some opportunities that they may not know that we have, as well as, you know, I don't want to get political, but talk about some of the threats to public land and public land hunting. I'll tell you this. I think politicians take hunters for granted. We're a large group, and when we speak with one voice, we're very powerful. But they take us for granted, and I think we, as sportsmen, often take for granted the opportunities we have. We have over 240 million acres of public land, and that's just federal public land. And I almost hate to call it federal public land. It's managed by the federal government, but it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to us. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. It belongs to everyone, no matter how much money you make. And I think sometimes we don't realize what is available to us, and if we're not conscious of that, we could let the threats threaten that, you know, take that away from us. So we should go out, we should enjoy it, we should use it, and we should fight to protect it.
Absolutely, and amen to that. Folks, you're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Anthony Licata. He is the editor-in-chief of Outdoor Life magazine. The subject is our public lands and hunting them within the United States of America. On this fold-out map, speaking of threats, especially a couple years ago, you were hearing a lot of politicians push, let the states manage our public lands. And you've got a great data point there that really shows exactly what happens when the states manage our public lands. In the state of Nevada, they sell off 99% of those lands, don't they?
That's right. They do. Listen, the idea to let the states manage public lands has a certain logic to me and to a lot of people. But the fact of the matter is, oftentimes what that is that's just the first step to the state unloading it to the highest bidder, you know, opening it up for sometimes foreign energy companies to selling it off the most valuable pieces. The fact of the matter is, okay, you know, the federal government doesn't do the greatest job managing our public lands, but the answer is to fight and make sure that they know it's important to us and that they have the funds to manage it. Frankly, the states cannot do it better. I mean, in some of the western states, the firefighting budget alone would break the state to manage those public lands. You know, you may not feel that the federal government always does the best job, but let's be honest, I don't think the state government also does the best job. We have this system, you know, created by people like President Theodore Roosevelt and other conservation leaders, often hunters and fishermen, who established the North American model of wildlife conservation. That wildlife belongs to the people, that having public land for everyone to hunt, fish, camp, and explore is good for us. It's good for us as a nation, as a society, as individuals, and this belongs to us. And that's something that we just cannot let slip away. It makes us very different from the rest of the world. I've been lucky in my job where I've been able to hunt other places in the world. I've hunted in Europe and Africa. And I'll be honest, it's true in that in those places, it's often a rich man's game. You know, if you don't have money, you will not hunt. And that's not the case in this country. And so it's really imperative for us to protect that.
Anthony, very well said. Couldn't say it better myself. I'm starting to understand why you're the editor-in-chief of a rather major magazine here in America. One last thing before we go. You've got an article in here as well about deer hunting on our public lands. Briefly, what's that all about?
So this is about some public land hunting that I did growing up and that I do today. I grew up in a rural area in Pennsylvania, and I had some access to some farmland and private land to hunt. And these days I share some land with my brothers, and we have a deer camp there, and it's terrific. But that's not how I grew up hunting. I grew up hunting on Pennsylvania's terrific public land system, their state game land systems. And, you know, my father was a school teacher. He had seven kids. He didn't have a lot of money, but he thought it was important to take us out as what he loved to do. So he didn't have a lease. You know, he didn't have private land. He didn't manage it. He took us to public land, and it was terrific. You know, we killed some good deer. We had some terrific times. There's something about exploring those public lands, that sort of wildness, that is really special. And it hooked me as a kid. And so to this day, you know, I'm lucky in this position as editor-in-chief of Outdoor Life that I get to hunt a lot of great places, including a lot of great private properties. But I'm being honest when I say that some of the most beautiful, incredible places I've hunted with some of the best hunts and the best game have been on public land. And so even though sometimes I can hunt private land, I choose to hunt public land because you can have wonderful experiences there. And you get this kind of reward and sense of accomplishment when you're exploring this vast tract of land and finding things out for the first time and finding sign. It's really rewarding. So that's really what my story's all about.
Well, folks, that's just one of the stories you're going to read in the fall edition of Outdoor Life. So pick up a copy at a newsstand near you. If you're not subscribing already, subscribe to Outdoor Life. It doesn't cost much at all. And the website to go to is outdoorlife.com. Anthony, thanks for sharing our public lands and stories about them with our listeners today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me on, John, and I hope all your listeners are heading out and getting into the field and hunting our public lands and having a great time.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut, too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
There's no more majestic, magical, adventuresome country than the Western United States of America to enjoy a great family vacation. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. Shiloh Inns are still offering affordable four-star accommodations at two-star prices. Enjoy deluxe smoke-free suites, spacious pools and spas, and fully equipped fitness centers. From free high-speed internet in every room to a free continental breakfast or full hot, delicious breakfast at most Shiloh Inns. There are no hidden fees like some of the big chain hotels charge. Even the kids stay free, and Shiloh Inns are dog friendly. For reservations, call 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence, American family owned and proud of it.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Trolling for big salmon? Then tie on a spoon or spinner from McComey's Custom Lures. These high-quality, made-in-the-USA lures help you catch more Chinook and Coho. Whether you troll an Elite Series spoon, a Champion Glow spoon with a squid skirt, or a 3.5 mini Colorado spinner, you'll be increasing your chances for a fish on. Look for McComey's Custom Lures at Sportsman's Warehouse and other quality sporting goods stores on the West Coast and Alaska, or online at McComeysCustomLures.com.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got some outdoors news for you. We'll start off things congratulating Randy Pearson from Oakdale, California, because he just won the Bass Nation Championship last week at Alabama's Pickwick Lake. Pearson credits the ever-changing conditions he encountered during a pre-fishing scouting trip to the lake in October, because tough and changing conditions prevailed during the tournament in November to include high water and changing weather fronts. Pearson's overall catch of 55 pounds, 11 ounces beat second-place finisher Kyle Dorsett of Florida by nearly 4 pounds, and bested third-place finisher Jacopo Galelli from Italy by over 10 pounds. I didn't know they bass fished in Italy. Well, there you go. All three anglers from the U.S. and Italy will now receive invitations to compete in the world-famous Bassmaster Classic in March, where they'll be competing for a total purse of $1 million fishing the Tennessee River. Shifting from bass to birds, we've got a couple of goose calling tips for you hunters out there, courtesy of John Pullman, writing for Ducks Unlimited. First off, when it comes to the calling, stick to the basics. This advice comes from world goose calling champ Sean Stahl. He said that for him, it all started with learning how to make a cluck, and that call is the foundation of much of what he uses while hunting. He says he can get a lot of reaction from the birds by just using that cluck sound. Second, work as a team. Don't let one guy do all the calling, but one caller should be the lead caller, and the rest of us should work not to mimic his calling, but to complement it. That way, you actually sound like that flock of geese your decoys are supposed to be in front of you. Finally, give those geese a break with the call as they fly over, but hit them with some excited calling right after they do. A lot of times, this will break off part of the flock, or maybe get the whole flock to swing back and come in. If you're looking for more tips, go to ducks.org and check out the rest of this great article. And while you're there, consider joining Ducks Unlimited. Next on America Outdoors Radio, we're checking in with one of my favorite people. It's Captain Mac McQuarrie, the man behind Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska. You can find out more about this spectacular place I got to go fishing at last year through his website at alaskasbestlodge.com. Mac, it's great to have you on the show again.
Good to be with you, John. Good to be with you.
Well, Mac, I had, with my son, an absolutely fantastic trip with you. We came back with all sorts of halibut and lingcod and true cod and yellow-eye rockfish and some salmon, too. And I thought we'd start off today with a season wrap-up of how 2018 went compared to other years.
Yeah, it was an interesting season. We were sold out, so that part of it is always good. But it was an interesting season as far as the fishing was concerned. It was a tough season for salmon, and in particular king salmon, which is, of course, the one everybody wants. But fortunately, everything else was in good supply, and what was a really surprise to us was the lingcod catch. And lingcod held up throughout the whole season. They were big bruisers, and they made up for a lot of what we didn't have in the way of salmon. And fishing was good. It's Alaska, after all. But the salmon fishing last year was not good. But nobody went home without a really good big old box of fillets of lots of other stuff, and there was plenty of fish. It just wasn't a good salmon year, and my feedback from all up and down the coast, apart from Bristol Bay, which had a phenomenal run of reds of sockeye, all up and down the coast, as I travel up and down the coast and talk to everybody, they all complain about the same thing.
And it wasn't just you. I actually got on the horn with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, talked to a biologist in Southeast Alaska. He said it was like the worst salmon run they've had since the early 1990s. But he's hopeful. I'm hopeful. I know you and a lot of other lodge operators are hopeful that things are going to turn around in 2019. And speaking of 2019, the rest of the fishing was so good. And folks, the customer service at this place is so good. I understand that as of November 1st, you were already sold out for the entire season, and you've had to make some changes to open up some space.
Yeah, that's right. And that was a strange thing about last year. You know, it wasn't the best salmon year, and as we've already discussed, but the weather was awesome for starters. That helped a lot. But yeah, this is the earliest we have ever sold out our regular inventory. And we just finished our 3-day annual meetings, which is where we go through all the guest critiques and all our statistics and what have you. And what we decided at the end of that meeting was that we needed to add two more trips, and we've added a trip at the beginning of the season, a 3-day trip at the beginning of the season, and a 4-day trip at the end of the season. That'll be the second week into September for that one. And they are already going like crazy, and some of our longtime guests that know that those September trips, those are the big coho, those big rascals, they're, you know, 14, 15 pounds is ho-hum in September. And some of them have jumped from their July spots, 8 people actually have jumped from their July spots into that September spot. So we actually now, as a result of adding those trips, we ended up having some open space, not much, and it won't last long in the middle of the season too. So that was an unintended result, but it's gratifying to see people jump on those trips immediately as soon as we open them up. So something went well last year or previous years or whatever. It's very gratifying after, you know, many tough years when the economy was tough in 2008, 9, 10, 11 and what have you. This is pretty exhilerating when you see these kinds of results.
You're absolutely right. But I can tell you, Mac, that there's a number of things at play here. Number one, it's the whole Alaska experience, flying in on a float plane to this small little cove where your lodge is at, being able to see lots of wildlife right from the lodge. You're seeing bears, you're seeing deer, you're seeing eagles all over the place, and you're seeing whales when you're out fishing. That's fantastic. The customer service of your staff is just amazing. I've never been treated so well in my life. And the food. Oh my gosh, you do not go away hungry when you stay at your place. So you take it all together, and even if the king salmon fishing was a little bit slow, all the other fishing was great. I understand why you're sold out. And folks, let me tell you something here. If you want to really impress somebody with a Christmas gift and maybe gift yourself too, book a trip for 2 or 3 or 4 to Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island for 2019. Again, they've got a 3-day trip at the beginning of the season. They've got a 4-day trip at the end of the season, and they've got a couple openings now in July, but you better hop on this quick if you want to take advantage of it. What's the website, Mac?
It's alaskasbestlodge.com. And for us, that's more than just a website. That's what we live by.
That's alaskasbestlodge.com. Alaskasbestlodge.com. I've got a phone number for you too. Grab a pen. You got it? Good. Here's the number, 1-800-962-7889. That's 1-800-962-7889, 1-800-962-7889, or alaskasbestlodge.com. Make somebody really, really happy for Christmas. Book a trip right now. You will not regret it. Mac, always great chatting with you. Can't wait to go fishing with you next year.
All right, John. Thank you. Always good to be with you. We look forward to seeing you up there.
I always enjoy visiting with Captain Mac. We are running out of time, but if you want to hear this show again or other editions of America Outdoors Radio, you can do so on demand. Just look for America Outdoors Radio on Stitcher or Podbean, or go to our YouTube channel, Northwestern Outdoors. That's one word to find that channel there. And you can listen not only to this show, but our sister show, Northwestern Outdoors Radio. You can also hear this show on TalkAmericaRadio.us every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. TalkAmericaRadio.us is the new voice for conservative talk radio, especially online. By the way, for you Saturday listeners, I hope if you're in North Central Washington. You'll join me today at the Sportsman's Warehouse store in East Wenatchee from noon to 1:30 p.m. as I do my very best to repeat in taking home the title of customer favorite at the annual chili cook-off that's going on there. This event through Sportsman's Warehouse is always a ton of fun, and it's also a great excuse to get some warm food in your belly on a cold day and get some early holiday shopping done, since there is a pre-Thanksgiving sale going on through this weekend. The location again, the East Wenatchee, Washington Sportsman's Warehouse store. The time again, noon to 1:30. Come on by, try some of the chili I'm going to have for you and the chili others will have, and don't forget to vote. All right, we've really got to go because I've got to get to work on that chili. But here's hoping that the good Lord blesses you in the week ahead and that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I hope it brings you and family members together and that you have some great times. I also hope that you'll be able to slip away for a few days during this part of mid and late November, because there's some really, really good fishing out there and some really good hunting too. Remember, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it during this Thanksgiving holiday.